providing inspiration and community for women in business of Middle Tennessee. This is Powered by Her with Tiffany Anton.
Welcome back to Powered by Her. I am Tiffany Anton, and I have two guests in today. That doesn't happen very often, but I have Sarah Chambers and Hannah Istvanko.
Perfect.
Yes.
Flawless.
Look at me.
Yes, flawless.
Yeah. And you guys are the co-owners of Privy Clear, a marketing advertising company.
Mm-hmm.
How do you define yourselves?
At first, it was kind of just advertising. And now we've kind of moved to really offering a full experience for our clients. So I would say it encompasses both marketing and advertising. We kind of just go all in and do whatever they need when it comes to both of those things.
Awesome. So we're gonna talk about the company, talk about kind of some things that you guys have put in place to run it. First, we want to take a second to thank our partners. You know what helps a girl grow into her own power and self? Reading, where she discovers people who are like her and different than her, where she explores perspectives and places she could never visit in her lifetime, where she has time to expand her universe and see the world is full of possibilities. The folks at Plenty, the downtown bookshop, know that reading is key to raising women who are able to find their joys and passions. Plenty's book enthusiasts love helping women of all ages connect with books they need right now. Life of Plenty includes good books. Go by, take your time, and browse a bit at Plenty Bookshop on Broad Street in Cookeville.
There's nothing more dangerous than a well-read woman.
For sure.
And Plenty has the best book recommendations.
Kids,
grown-ups, anybody.
I think that it's just such a cute book. Like,
oh, it's
comfortable in there. It's like
they do the reading hours.
Yeah. I didn't realize they're a nonprofit.
Yes.
Too.
I didn't know
so,
that either.
Yeah. Like their whole business model is just
They're great. They're a great partner. And like you said, a well-read woman is dangerous. And it's funny. I had a boss 7+ years ago. He would say, what are you reading? And I'm like, I don't know. I have young kids. I don't read a ton. And I was in a book club at the time. I read fiction books here and there. And I was like, the last thing I read was, I don't know, The Girl on the Train or some book like that, whatever. And he's like, if you're not reading nonfiction, you're not growing and you're not going to be a good person. And I was like,
you said that's a little hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, maybe that's not really how you want to talk to me. And I was just like, maybe I'm not going to ever read ever again because I don't like the way you told me that I have to do. I mean, and I only worked for him two or three months, and he probably asked me at least once a month what I was reading, and you need to read this and this and this. And now that I've picked up nonfiction books, I'm like, this is awesome.
Oh, excellent.
They are great. That's really all that I can read is nonfiction books that teach me something kind of what I have really driven towards.
Do you think that you absorb? So I'm like, I'll read it and then be like, I don't really remember what that book. Like I have the big overall concepts, but there's so many like details of things that I'm like, I don't remember all the details of that book.
I'm a book annotator. And I hate that about myself.
I don't know what that means.
I'm highlighting.
Hannah
I'm
just
writing in the margin.
Oh, she is. She has reading guides.
I found
one on my desk. I'm like, what is this? I know it's not for me. And it's like a full reading guide on how to how to read this book.
For
Were
those
you
of
trying
you that,
to
like,
train her on how to better read books?
Just teaching her to read.
Yeah, yeah, really.
We're working just baby steps.
Fun fact.
No, I'm totally kidding. This can make you sound so mean.
No. So I'm dyslexic, and that's
which
Hannah,
is probably not as funny. Now we feel bad laughing.
We make it funny because it's something that I've always struggled with, but I've overcome it a lot over the years. But it's funny because when it comes out, you know, like the other day I was trying to spell persevere, and I showed it to Hannah, and I'm like, is this right? And she's like,
preserve.
Oh, Sarah.
But everybody does stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Everybody does stuff like that.
Yeah. Reading is key. And I'm getting better about, like, you know, I can write in a book or I can highlight every now and then. But I'm a big, I'll read 3 chapters and then that book sits on my nightstand for the next 3 months.
That is the only thing I miss about pre-baby life was spending my entire Saturday just immersed in a book. I love fiction, nonfiction. My goal this year is to read 100 books. I'm like 12 in or something. So a little 12. Behind.
Oh, it's crazy. It's like February.
I love it. It's an immersive experience for me.
And so insane. I'm so proud of myself. I read 2 books in January.
That's excellent.
And I am on a third book and I'm like, okay, maybe I could read 12 books in this year.
That's
like,
my goal. Yes. So we're on it together.
Yeah, that's
my
goal is 12. Goal.
Okay, Sarah, I'm going to keep checking in with you.
Yeah, because I'm still in my first book.
for the year. Well, so we have a Power by Her book club and we're reading Wolfpack, which is a teeny tiny book.
Perfect. So that's my kind of book.
And, you know, I think it's going to be good. I think I could probably read it in a week or two. And so
that's the sorbet course. It's the palate cleanser. Yeah. And you dive back into something else. Yes, so that's excellent.
I've done both, like nonfiction and fiction.
I think one of the first books that really changed my life was a recommendation from Hannah, and it was called by Viktor Frankl. Yeah.
Dr. Viktor Frankl. Yes. He's a Holocaust survivor talking about.
See, clearly she remembers everything.
Yeah, she does.
I have a history degree, so I nerd out on stuff like that, but it's the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, it was basically just the pursuit of happiness and how he found meaning in a Holocaust camp. And so I just thought, it just changed my life, kind of how he found happiness. And
it's a little dark.
It is a little dark, but I mean, it really did change my life. So if Hannah gives you a book recommendation, you take it seriously.
Do you read fiction and nonfiction?
I sure do.
Okay.
I read anything.
Okay.
Yeah. That's absolutely good. Anything.
All right. We could talk about books, I'm sure, for the next 45 minutes, but that's not really why we're here. So tell me a little bit more about the birth story of Privy Clear and tell me, you know, how you guys got started.
So I definitely feel like there's a dual perspective on this. Mm-hmm. So I want to.
Yeah, you do your perspective and then I'll do mine.
So I'm going to rewind us back to early 2023, I guess mid 2022. We were both working at the same place and we needed a marketing director because I was doing all the Facebook ads and social media and whatnot. And it's just a lot with the other responsibilities that I had. And we brought Sarah on and Sarah and I just kind of clicked and trauma bonded over infertility and other fun stuff and really got to know one another. And we found out our brains really mesh well together. Then I went through IVF. I got pregnant. And towards the end of my pregnancy, she busted into my office one day and she was like, I've got an idea. And I was like, I'm about to have a baby. Real bad timing. Crazy, you know. But we had been discussing it and it was something that our passion was really growing between the two of us for this shared goal. And when I came back from maternity leave, she was like, I'm doing this and I want you to do it with me. And to have somebody have that much faith in you to, hey, let's take the plunge, let's do it. And Privy was born. Mm-hmm. But your angle's a little more intense, I feel like.
No, I feel like the development of it and kind of figuring out what exactly I wanted to make Privy was, I mean, it really just started. I just started learning about advertising, about, you know, Facebook advertising and Google advertising and all of that. And I saw the challenges that I faced in my role with, you know, that company. And then I also had the ability to work with so many small business owners in the Upper Cumberland and do advertising for them through the company that I was working with. And I saw a lot of the challenges that they faced. And I just thought there needs to be something more for them. And this is a need that's not being met in the community. And so that's kind of what brought the idea. And I did, I busted in Hannah's office and I'm like, we have to do this. Like,
well, and the thing that sets you apart from just a general marketing firm or advertising firm is that you have specific certifications, which you've kind of made jokes like, well, we went through a course and, you know, I, which is all certifications, right?
Yeah.
Like that's what everybody does. It's not just, I think that often we think, oh my gosh, Facebook, Meta, all this, like, it's so overwhelming. And I've been kind of in this space for 7-8 years now. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm still just making, you know, throwing spaghetti at the wall and see if it sticks. But you guys stay on top of those things. I think when we met at one point, I think I said, you like have an in to Facebook. Like there's so often where it's like, I want to talk to Facebook and there's nobody really to talk, you know, you have a bot there. And you have kind of some of those ins on what's going on in the Facebook world and what's going on in the Google world. And it changes all the time. And it is such a niche, but it's such a needed thing, exactly, service to provide.
And also the convenience of it. I mean, there are so many business owners that we've worked with who have tried to do Facebook ads by themselves and then one didn't have the time to like really dig in to be able to do it successfully. And also they don't want to spend the time to dig in and to know how to do it. That's what they pay us to do so that we have the knowledge to be able to almost work as fiduciaries for them and for their brand.
Well, so often it's like, I know social media is the devil that we have, necessary devil. Mm-hmm. And so we have to do it. We know we need that, but then what's going to be beneficial? You don't want to just waste time and spin your wheels for no reason, but that's what people do most often.
Well, and I feel like a lot of advertising now, I feel as a consumer, we see it. I look at that stupid Duolingo owl and I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows what it is. And it is so strategic how they are creating these ads and how unhinged they are. Mm-hmm. Like,
I
love
it. That
sticks in your... Oh, I do too.
And I got to see her speak
sticks
too.
Sticks in your brain.
The marketing director of Duolingo. I got to see her talk at a conference in June. And I took so many notes. Like, out of all of the speakers, I heard from the director of Coca-Cola of their marketing, which was like, they spend more on marketing than anybody in the world. So like, it was so cool to hear her speak. But that Duolingo girl, she was just, I loved her.
Kind of wild.
And she told me that the whole thing started because she put on an owl suit and had someone record a TikTok video of her twerking on the conference table and it blew up.
Yeah.
And I love like the humor side of that. And I feel like that's what Hannah and I have really tried to tap into with our advertising. It's like the humor.
Well, and I think that, you know, we're going to talk about your personalities in a second, but I think that I like listening to the podcast, How I Built This, with Guy Raz. It's an NPR podcast. And I listened to the story of Sunbum, and Sunbum was so consumed with the, it's just sunscreen and sun products, but the ape that, and it has a name, I can't think of the name, but it has an ape. And so they made this ape on stickers, on Frisbees, on everything in the beach setting. And they actually were a company that was based, I think, in Michigan. And they were like, we can't be a sunscreen company based in Michigan. So they rented an office space in Florida just so that they could have, and there was nobody, like there was nobody even in there, but that's where they registered their business. And so it's just, there's so many different facets. And I want to say that, you know, you kind of said people don't want to be digging into the algorithms of things and that's what they pay you for. And I think that that's so important to know. So often we feel like if we don't know all the things that we need to know for our business, we're not good enough. We're not a good CEO. We should know how to market. Well, you guys have different personalities. You think differently than somebody who's managing a bunch of people or who's, you know, making a product and looking at production lines and stuff like that. It's okay to have different skill sets.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's something that's been really hard for me to come to realize because like you, I'm a control freak. And so it's really, really, really hard for me to give up that control, especially when it's, you know, our business and the brand that we have built. And so we were just looking into some kind of like automated system to help us build landing pages for clients. And that's something that like we can do, but it takes so much time. And so it was almost like, I feel like such a failure if we're paying for this system, but then it's like we have so much more time now to focus on things that, you know, that we want to do, like getting into education and empowering small business owners more than just building a landing page, you know? Yeah. So I feel like it's hard to give up that control, but it is, it's necessary to, you know, your strengths, and it's okay to, you know, reach out to people, and it takes a village.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think, like you said, it's your skill set is mm-hmm. one thing, and a lot of people can build landing pages.
Yeah.
And so that's not as much necessary for your clients. Mm-hmm. That's not where your, you know, shining star comes in.
You don't have to know everything.
Yeah, for sure. So we've tapped around the idea, but we're talking last week, and Hannah and I think are more similar, and we kind of can get accused and received as the bad cop. Mm-hmm.
I wear that badge proudly. I'm like, I'm the sheriff. You're come on, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you guys are a bit younger than me. How do you think, did you always feel like it was okay to be the bad cop and you wore it proudly?
I'm a middle child and I'm the eldest daughter. So I always joke that like, that's my villain origin story is... birth. My poor sister, yeah, like she probably didn't get to ever talk to anybody. Yeah. I was like, hi, I'm Hannah Fox. This is my sister, Rachel Fox. She's 2 years younger. This is what she likes, you know. Yeah. And I feel like my personality kind of comes from that. Like, it's so hard to find your voice as third child out of four.
Yeah.
And I feel like the development started there and then it just never stopped.
It's interesting though, for me, I sometimes forget that I'm not an older sibling. I'm a younger sister.
Are you? I would not have pegged that.
I even forget myself because yeah. So many of those older sibling traits, I feel like I have them, you know, like I like control. I like to, you know, plan like make sure that everything is taken care of. And
I'm the family manager.
Yeah. I like to be in charge. Yeah. I like to be, you know, at the center of attention. And that is not usually a younger sibling thing. Yeah. And so, you know, what you go through, you change and all that kind of stuff. But it is interesting because I do think birth order matters somewhat.
Oh, I do too.
But yeah. Then you can overcome it because so even my best friends, both my best friend and her husband are both firstborns and they are like, you know, oh, well, you know, we're the oldest. And they laugh at me because they're like, you're not, but you're so much like us and the way we, you know, respond to things.
Well, my brothers are, one is 12 years older and one is 8 years older than I am. So we, you know, same parents, but we just kind of came in sets. So I always felt like I was an oldest sibling.
Yeah.
Out of our duo.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that really was kind of the jumping off point. And then also I had incredibly supportive parents and incredibly supportive grandparents that were very involved in my life that enabled that behavior. My grandfather owned a multi-million-dollar environmental engineering firm in Miami, worked with NASA, OSHA, you know, federal government, Endangered Species Act. I mean, really influential in public life and in my life personally. And he had two daughters and he knew how important it was as a woman in the workforce to have your voice heard.
Yeah.
And to speak your thoughts unapologetically. And you can't be afraid of how you're perceived by other people.
I was raised by a dad, but it was more the stay humble, stay humble, stay humble, stay humble. And so it was more of the, you better watch your voice, you better watch your tone, you better, you know, and clearly I rebelled against that.
That's good rebellion though. That's good rebellion.
You know, I think that that's okay. So what about you, Sarah? I mean, so you're the good cop.
Yes,
absolutely.
So, and I'm an only child. So I don't know why I am just a people pleaser. Yeah. And, you know, that's really me. I'm a people pleaser and Hannah allows me to, I don't know. I feel like I'm getting my confidence from Hannah, like just seeing how, no, like honestly, because she is so good at her words and being direct. And so just kind of seeing, I don't know. I feel like she has just really empowered me to know my value and my worth and stand up for that. So I feel like 2024, my goal is to be more confrontational and stick up for myself.
But in a good way.
In a good way. I don't know if I'll get there.
We're just starting back alley fights.
Yeah.
Me and you just, yeah.
But I think too, what's really helped with me with that and like knowing my worth and being able to like be not bad cop, but you know, just stand up for myself is now that we have this small business, we don't have time. So I'm starting to realize that like my time is valuable and I mean, I can't do everything and I can't be everywhere. So I feel like that in knowing my time has just really helped me kind of just know my confidence.
You know? I had a January, I don't remember what year it was, but I was like, I want to be more selfish because I give and give and give.
That's me.
And I was like, if you need to keep like my core people, I'm like, listen, I'm trying to put myself first. And if I go to the other extreme, which I don't think I would, because that's not in my personality, but keep me in check. I'm okay. You know, put the barriers in place. But I think that it sounds bad to like, you know, say some of these things about ourselves. I want to be more confrontational, but there are important things that we as, especially, you know, women are kind of taught a certain way to look a certain way, just act a certain way. And so it's hard sometimes. And then when you're running a business, you want so badly to be everything to your customers, your clients. So how has that kind of been between the two of you guys running this business?
So I have to brag on our clients I feel like we have some of the most amazing clients. I mean, the Upper Cumberland is really just a wealth of just good people.
Yeah.
And good people that care about the community and care about other small businesses. I think that is one of the most impressive things about the Upper Cumberland is the small business support.
And every single one of our clients wants to be involved in the community. And I think that that's something that we just have just really, really adored because, I mean, we get to get more involved in the community and help them get more involved in the community.
I always say there's like something special. There's a special sauce about the Upper Cumberland because I've lived other places. Hannah has said that. Have you lived other places?
No, Sarah? I've been here my whole life.
But there's something different. And I like the fact that you're not taking advantage of the fact, you know, you can see that it is magical here, even though you've been here your whole life.
I didn't want to leave. My husband is from Nashville. And so when we got married, or when we got engaged, he's like, you know, what if we moved back to Nashville? And I was like, absolutely not. Sorry, boy, but you are locked down here. Like we're buying a house and you're stuck here because he's fine with it. He does HVAC here and he loves it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just fallen in love with the area. So it's so easy to get involved here and to get involved with the community. And I think it's hard in bigger cities and even in smaller areas. Mm. Like
I say that all the time. Like I would not be able to be doing what I'm doing in a big city. Like I think that
people, and to have the impact that you've had. Yeah, I mean,
yeah. Like I would be no one in a big city. And so this is where life has taken me. And I think that this is where I'm supposed to be. And I belong here doing what I'm doing. And there are times where I'm like, oh, you know, if I was in a big city, I could do this or that or whatever, or even not even necessarily big city. Like I'm talking like Chattanooga.
Yeah.
But it's bigger than here. And, you know, as a single woman, the dating pool's bigger and all that, which who knows if that's good or bad, but I mean, I get that, but there's just something, and you being able to work with businesses, which is similar to what I'm able to do. And so, it really helps. So we kind of talked before, and Sarah's a softie. And how has that been as business partners? Has that been ever caused conflict with?
So that was one of the big things when we started this business, because I care for Sarah so deeply as a friend. Mm-hmm. You always hear those horror stories where it's like, oh, two best friends went in and opened a restaurant. Now they don't talk, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So we had a very long, drawn out sit down conversation where if it ever got to a point where we felt like we needed to address things, like we address them and it's done. We don't let it interfere with the friendship or what goes on outside of our personal lives. And we still stay very engaged with each other's personal lives. It's not just business every time we talk. I think, you know, we're very trepidatious about how we approach that, maintain that respect. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. Well, and I feel too that we really play off each other's strengths. I can't tell you how many times I've been like, yeah, we'll do that for free. And Hannah's like, Sarah, your work is worth like charging for what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like that, I guess that's where I go back to, like, she has helped me realize like my self-worth so much. And I didn't realize how much I needed, honestly, this business and her to kind of help me realize that. I'm not going to get emotional. What the heck?
Don't you dare.
We have boxes of tissue if we need them.
But I just feel like in the past 7 or 8 months that we've had Privy, like we have both grown so much.
Absolutely.
And it's really us being so different, like me being a softie and like her being, you know, more confrontational, but it's like, it's helped us both. I mean, just really, really grow. And so I feel like that has been.
Do you feel, Hannah, that you've softened at all?
I think the thing that has softened me the most. Yes. Oh my gosh. Everything makes me cry and it's embarrassing. I think having a kid definitely softened me up. If my husband listens to this podcast, he's going to be like, you're such a weenie, like at home, such a weenie. But I feel like my public facing persona is a lot different, you know, than when you're in the comfort of your own home.
For sure. Well, and do you think that's, I mean, I think I go through that where, you know, if I have an event late in the day, and so I have to kind of be on, I'm like exhausted, and I'm an outgoing person. I love like talking to people. I love all that stuff. But then I'm like, oh, it's just, it is different.
It drains your social battery. big fan of bits over here. So like if I know somebody's going to find something funny, like I'm like cracking my knuckles, like stretching, you know, like, so yeah, it does drain your social battery. But I definitely think running this business with Sarah has, if anything, made me a little bit more confident in, I don't want to say confrontational situations, because I don't necessarily feel like they're...
But it's forced us to be in uncomfortable situations that we hadn't been in before and learn how to navigate them, kind of also playing off of each other's strengths on how to navigate these different, you know, just tough situations.
So many late night phone calls where it's like, I'll call Sarah and I'm like, hey, I've typed up this email. I just need you to read it and make sure I don't sound... a certain way.
That name that people like to call strong females. One thing though, so you're both married. And often, and I think we're shifting away a little bit, but we're kind of raised to think that our husbands should provide all that emotional support. They should be the ones that we turn to for things. They should be the ones boosting you up to get your, you know, for you to feel like you want to be more confrontational. You know, husbands should provide and fill so much. They're supposed to fill all these needs is what kind of I think society tells us. How have you been able to rely on each other to kind of, like you said, you've grown so much. Is that okay that you have a husband and he's not the one that's pushing that along?
So my husband has been pushing me to be more confrontational probably since the whole time we've been together. He's like, Sarah, you let people walk all over you. And so he's been pushing for that. And he's on, honestly, he's been like, so you listen to Hannah, but not me. I'm like, maybe.
Well, and I think that can be hard sometimes when you do have a partner like that in a relationship, that it's like, well, wait a second. And I've just kind of gotten to the point where there is a value for all the people in your life. And even if it's a deep, intimate, and I'm not saying intimate in a sexual way, but even if it's a deep, intimate relationship, it's okay that that's so much weight for one person.
I know.
Well, yeah. And I just, again, I'm probably going to hurt my husband's feelings, but I do believe that there are so many different types of soulmates. There's almost 8 billion people on the planet. Like, you're going to tell me one person, like you're saying, satisfies every single need.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's possible. And I think there are platonic soulmates. And I think...
Amen to that.
Yeah. It's having healthy, you know, boundary focused, happy female friendships are so satisfying and so, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, and I think enriching. Honestly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think me and you are really independent. And honestly, like I've been really lucky in my marriage where my husband doesn't feel threatened by that. And I feel like it's just, I don't know.
I think
it's
that's allowed a big key is finding somebody who...
Yeah.
Daniel, God love him. He's just like, just wind you up, watch you go.
I mean, that's Dylan. He's like, do your thing, girl. And, you know, it's been great to have that support.
I came home after we filed for our LLC and business license and everything. I came home that evening and I looked at my husband. We were making dinner. I was like, hey, I'm starting a business and this is what we're doing. He's like, are you going to have time for that? Because, I mean, 4 months postpartum?
Not even.
Yeah, 3 months maybe.
We started putting things together like April 2023.
So a month postpartum.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to make it work. And we have. And I work after I put my daughter to sleep or while she's napping or, you know, lunchtime, whatever we got to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was just like, do it. Let's see where it goes. And the trajectory of what we're looking at for this year and next year, I am just fired up. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to go. And I think he sees that and gets him excited.
Yeah.
Dylan's already like, I'm ready for me to be able to quit. And you just
ready to be a trophy husband.
Yeah. He told me, he's like, and we don't have kids. So we have 3 dogs that are...
Do you have cats too?
We have 6 animals. So we used to foster for ARF and we foster failed a million times. And so we have 6 animals. So we pretty much run a home for disabled dogs basically because we have Piper, she's in a wheelchair. And so we just,
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. So my husband's like, I'll just be a trophy husband and just take care of the animals. And I'm like, if you want to do that, awesome. That. Like I've just never been the kind of girl that I don't see myself being a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the life for me. I think, you know, if that is for you, great. But I don't think I'm just such a, I don't know. I just can't. I have to be involved in doing something and working towards, I don't know.
And let me just say, Sarah's pretty active on social media and you're pretty outspoken. And I think that you provide a voice for people that don't necessarily feel like they have a voice sometimes. And so I think that you do a really good job. I know what's I'm going to be happy with in life. And so often, I mean, I stayed at home with my kids and I don't regret it, but I don't think I was the best version of myself during that time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I felt like I really had any other option. Like mm-hmm. I thought that that's what, I mean, I had,
that's what you do.
Yeah.
You have kids.
I had people say, well, I'm not going to let somebody else raise my children by sending them to daycare. And I was like, I don't think that somebody else is raising your kids, no. But you know, that's kind of what my world was. And so I did what I felt like I was supposed to do. I think Sarah, you kind of go against the grain sometimes. So even though you're maybe the good cop, you do put things out there that are not always the good cop kind of content.
I do stir the pot.
We love it. Yeah.
But also, I mean, that
But you just say it, do it in a sweet way.
I try.
If it was me, I would be like, hey, you sound dumb.
Yeah. But I think that the world is not built for working women. Mm-hmm. And Hannah and I talk about working this all the moms. Time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to talk about motherhood in our next episode.
So you guys I can't wait for that.
Tune in for next week's episode as well. But what other things do you think that help you guys maybe have different, you encourage each other and help each other grow? And maybe you, Sarah, you soften Hannah a little bit. Hannah, you've definitely hardened Sarah a little bit. What other advice do you have for people that maybe have different personalities or struggle with that? You know, you want to listen to every client's sob story, and I'm not making fun of your clients, but you have this bleeding heart and you want to do good for everyone. It probably helps to have kind of a tougher Hannah around.
So when I got my first, you know, air quotes, big girl job, my grandfather had this sit down conversation with me and he said, business is like a three-legged stool, right? That three-legged stool, have you ever stood on one or sat on one that's not rickety as hell?
No, you're fine. Sorry.
You're good. So
don't look at him. Am I okay, Luke? We pay him money. Yeah.
So he's, you know, the stool is customer service, quality of product, and price. Mm-hmm. And you have to figure out, you know, which of the legs is going to be shorter, because mm-hmm. you're not going to get, you know, Shein prices for a Gucci bag or, you know, if you call their Google's customer service, it's the best search engine ever, but are you going to get anybody?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. So I think setting those expectations early and overly communicating them.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and not hesitating to communicate them, because I feel comfortable enough in the friendship where if I was mad at you or upset with you, we can sit down and have an adult conversation mm-hmm. and convey those things and come out the other side with some type of resolution.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think those are kind of the big two for me, is figuring out, you know, we do have a value added service mm-hmm. that we give people, and we've got the statistics to prove it.
Yeah.
Just the overly communicating with one another and with clients, because we've had to have some pretty uncomfortable conversations, but coming out the other end with a solution is better than just sitting in that festering anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think too, we sat down and wrote out our core values, which was really fun. And one of them was, you know, if we put the client at the forefront of everything, our success is going to follow. Mm-hmm. And so I tell our clients all the time, our success depends on yours. And so I think that's really helped us, you know, continue to overly communicate. I think that's the perfect way to put how we have made this work so well, is because we're just honest and with each other and with our clients, and just that line of open communication. I think that's so important to have.
And reminding them we're a small business too.
Yeah.
We're not going to recommend something off the wall, expensive, crazy. Mm-hmm. We can't afford something insane like that. Mm-hmm. So we are coming at it from a very similar vantage point, which I think is also value added, especially for businesses in the Upper Cumberland.
Yeah, we get it too. We're in the same boat mm-hmm. as you, and we get the challenges, and we've worked with people in the same position as you too. Mm-hmm. So we're here for you.
Are you only taking clients that are in the Upper Cumberland right now?
Right now?
That's the majority of the wait list is people in the Upper Cumberland. I think what we do it could go anywhere.
And that's kind of what the sky's the limit. I know. And that's what's so exciting. And so that's why we are really just preparing to kind of go big really tap into the education part of it, because I think that, well, in one, a facet of what we do, I didn't even like think about until later on, but there are even bigger companies with, you know, smaller marketing departments that don't know how to do these things and have to spend, on top of paying an in-house person, they have to spend, you know, an independent contractor to do all of these things. And, you know, offering those marketing people education resources to be able to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. And so now we're kind of like exploring into, you know, all of these different avenues of just empowering, you know, not just small businesses, but even, you know, up from there. So yeah. I'm just so excited to see where it goes.
If people want to find out about your services and contact you guys, how can people get in touch with you guys?
So privyclear.com is our website. All of our information is on there. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Pinterest, we're on LinkedIn, we're everywhere.
We're about to start like an absolutely just unhinged TikTok.
Yes, can't I'm so wait. Excited. We also have a newsletter that's really great for our newsletter is really designed for just anyone in business. And we just, you know, like you said in the beginning, we stay on top of trends with Facebook and Google, and Instagram just launched this new thing where you can have polls in the comments, which is really fun. And so we add like updates like that are coming in the newsletter just to keep people informed. So, and it's free.
And I think that's so valuable. I was just looking at my TikTok. I scrolled back through and I started TikTok just to kind of learn, you know, I meet with all these business owners. And so I was like, I kind of need to have an idea. In my first TikTok, I took like 4 or 5 pictures from Christmas and they just like flipped through and there was some music and I was like, wow, it just made me laugh like back. And then I didn't know what to do with my content. So I just made cat videos that were like that.
Perfect.
Ridiculous. I would put like dirty 90s like R&B music over it and made it like look sexual and stuff.
I love that.
Yeah. So I mean, but it was just a way to explore.
Yeah.
But that's just me messing around. Like, who has the time? Nobody really has the time to learn and stay up to date, mm-hmm. unless that's what you're doing all the time. And so it's nice to have resources like this around that people can, you know, kind of stay on top of. Nobody wants to spend dollars advertising that aren't going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's often what you do is you, okay, well, I'll just put $50 behind this Facebook post. And is that really the right way? And that, you know, and that's where you guys come into play. And I think you guys are really valuable for our small business community. And I'm glad that you're, you know, kicking butt. So they'll be back next week for next week's episode. So check out privyclear.com and check out these ladies. So thanks for listening.
Thanks for having us.
You are welcome.
If you want to know more about Powered by Her, head over to poweredbyher.com. Join the community, support the cause, and we'll see you next week.